chapter number 12. Let me just quickly say that the situation I was talking about a while ago with the church wasn't part of Donald's, it wasn't part of that assembly. This guy wasn't part of, they didn't know who the guy was. So. He just got aggravated and left, I guess. Yeah. I was over at Center, Alabama. I am. Matthew chapter 12. We're starting at verse 10. And behold, there was a man who had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse him?" That's the only reason to ask. They were so strict. I was reading, they were so strict. Just give you an example of how silly they were. I was reading just one situation, a lot of them, but one situation was there was a kind of a bark off of a tree that that had two purposes. It had a healing effect on a gum, but it also had a flavor. And on the Sabbath, you could only chew on that piece of stick if it had fallen, and you didn't have to break it off, and you were chewing it for the flavor and not the healing. I got into that, and it was one after another of those laws that they had made up. And that's, so they had followed him around. The first part of the chapter, his disciples had gone through the cornfield and gathered the corn and just rubbed it in their hands and ate it. And so they had been following all this day. And so, he said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day? Will he not lay hold on it and lift it out?" We were staying over at the cabin several months ago. We had just gotten there, and we heard a calf. Heard an old cow, mama cow, bellowing over and over and over and over. And he'd go up toward the barn, and he'd come back. And he'd go up toward the barn and come back and bellow. And I said, "Kim, I think that mama's lost a calf. I bet a calf got out the other side of the fence over there." And I said, and then we heard a little old calf. Could barely hear it. And I said, "I'm going to go check on that calf." And I said, "Go get Rachel and see if she'll bring her truck down here." So I went on, and there was a calf that had fallen down in a deep hollow of where a tree had fallen. It was probably 6-8 feet down in there. So I crawled down in there and it had barbed wire wrapped around it. And so I loosened up the barbed wire and pushed it out. And I thought, boy, the Pharisees would have hung me today, because it was a Sunday afternoon that we had gone down there. But that's what our Lord said. What one of you would have an animal in a pit and not lend a hand to pull it out? But don't bother this man with a withered hand. Let him go. That's what he says there in verse 12. "How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days?" Or wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. "Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other." Luke makes a special effort to make sure we know it's his right hand. He includes it as his right hand, which is typically, unless you're like me, left-handed, typically the right hand's the strong. The right hand on a man is the working hand. Well, as always, our message is pretty much the same. If you have a need, the offer is always satisfaction. Every Sunday, the offer is always satisfaction. if your need's been filled, if you sit here as a believer, then you have an opportunity to thank the Lord and that He's satisfied you. This man that we're going to talk today was searching, it appears, for something. He was at church. And it appears he got what he needed that Sunday and more, or that day and more. Behold, behold, observe. That's what behold means. Behold, observe, contemplate, and witness. There was a man with a withered hand. First point is, let's look at the person receiving the command. Jesus said to the man, stretch forth your hand. It was no fake disease. There wasn't a pretense of paralysis like we see a lot of times on street corners and all, you know. If you waited till dark, and I've seen this, and I know you've seen it, you wait till dark and you'll see them get up and walk home and push their wheelchair home. But this was no fake paralysis that this man had. His hand was withered, and thus was he commanded to do what he was incapable of doing. So we know that. The Lord knew that his hand was withered, and he said, stretch forth that hand. Well, he wasn't capable to do that, was he? Well, that's important for the unbeliever, somebody seeking Christ, because Christ saves, it proves that Christ saves real sinners. No fake sinners, saves real sinners. And he saves all without exception, from the most evil to that person who may be somewhat less evil. At the end of the day, the bottom line, all of them are hopeless. They're all helpless. They all have a need. They're all paralyzed. All are dried up. None of them have any strength. They're dead. That's the command, though. That's the command of the gospel. To the hopeless and helpless, you're commanded to believe and repent. Words of action, believe and repent, are words of action. Words of action to those that are incapable of any action. Sort of odd sounding, isn't it? Well, that's the beauty. If this man could have, there would have been no miracle performed, would there? He could not, yet the Lord addressed him as though he could. It'd be like, be going, Chris, stretch your arm out. Annabelle, stretch your arm out. And go to Steve, knowing that he's paralyzed. Say, Steve, stretch your arm out. I included Steve just like I did those that's how our Lord said it. Just as capable as those two. He said it to this man. Stretch your hand out. Well, that's the cry of the gospel. To the incapable, unable, the gospel cries to thee. To thee, even to thee, is the word of salvation sent. Even though you're incapable, it's sent to you specifically. There's hope. And the gospel is only sent to those that are hopeless. The gospel is only ever effectual to those who cannot. Well, that only displays the excellency of the power of the gospel, doesn't it? Well, the second part of this man is, he was incapable, yet he was willing. He was prepared to do whatever our Lord commanded him to do. Like I said, he was at church. He was searching. A lot of folks search, don't they? They're searching, but they really don't know what they're searching for. They just don't know. So they'll wind up sometimes in a religious setting. Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe that's what put this guy here. I'm sure he'd try. You'd have thought he'd have gone to a doctor. What put him at church that Sunday? Providence. Providence put him in church, right? Providence placed him where he could be truly healed. Placed him where he needed to be. Providence had, our sovereign grace and mercy had made him willing and pliable. Maybe he had sat at home for weeks, given up on anything. I'm tired of doctors. I'm tired of church. I'm glad folks finally get that way with things. I'm tired of church. Well, maybe the Lord will help you then. Providence put him where he needed to be that day. Many unconverted forever remain unconverted because that's what they want to remain, is unconverted. They don't want to be healed. They don't want a change of life. They don't want to be restored. As soon as a person longs to be saved, salvation has come. Ralph Barnard said years ago, I heard him say this. I didn't know him. I just heard it in a tape. He said, the moment that a man hears the gospel as the gospel, that's the key, as the gospel, the moment he hears it as the gospel, here is the key and as the gospel, not here's a sermon, here's the gospel as the gospel, that man will be saved. Well, what's saved? That's another broad definition in it, saved. You hear, you know, people use that word pretty freely. You know, I was saved, I got saved, the Lord saved me, however they say it. But what are they talking about, saved? Well, a lot of times it's just from hell or from problems or from situations. Well, salvation is saved from something current, from sin. Sin's a much deeper problem than the hell you're going to face. Salvation is a longing to be delivered from an habitual, killing, weighted down disease. That's what salvation is. That's what this man wanted. Desiring to be, yet knowing in yourself you cannot be. And a lot of people get there. They want to be different, and they try to be different. But they just, in themselves, they cannot be. And maybe that's where this guy had gotten. He just could not. He had tried. Just like all the miracles that we hear about so often, many of the cases of miracles, that those people had tried everything they could. I want to be holy. I want to love Christ. I want to be burden free. Then by Christ's mercy, God's mercy, you can be. If you want to be, you can be. And if you want to be, don't overthink it, because something made you want to be. Who made you want to be? Who made you willing? Well, the very person who gave you the command to believe. The very same person. Our Lord God Almighty, the one who made you willing, gave you the command to believe, to repent, to stretch forth your hand. So let's look at that person. Second point, let's look at the person giving the command. I asked a while ago, do you think the Lord spoke ignorantly to this guy? No. I mean, if you read on in this chapter alone, he reads the Pharisees' thoughts. So he knew this guy. What you and I can pull up on side, we really don't know if the guy's faking or not. Really don't. We used to run calls on the rescue, and you know, when somebody had passed out, so like Amber, if she had passed, you'd break open those smelling salts, they used to call them, ammonia packs. You'd break them open in just a wave. I mean, it could be way back, and that would usually. But some folks had gotten so good at faking, you could lay it on their lips. Then they just lay there forever. Wouldn't bother them. So we can't tell sometimes. I mean, there's folks that come around us. They'll hang around for a long, long time, won't they? But the one who gave this command knew that the man that he gave the command to had a problem. He was our Lord. You're not going to fool him. He knew it, yet he commands. Well, we're commanded, if you preach the gospel, if you witness the gospel, we're commanded to preach and witness the gospel to all creatures without exception. Well, we don't know who the elect are, do we? We don't know who's really got an interest. But the command is to, we let the Lord handle that part of it. We don't try to figure that out. Let me show you that. Steve mentioned this the other night. Ezekiel 37. Let's read it. The Lord told it, Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord, verse 1, Ezekiel 37, 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, only you know. Lord, is that man's hand really withered? Lord, only you know. Only you know. And again he said to me, Preach, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. It's what I do every Sunday. I don't know whose bones are dry and whose bones are pliable. I just preach to the dry bones. And if you got moisture in your bones, then you rejoice that your bones aren't dry anymore. That's what I started off with, isn't it? Verse 5, thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will, not they, I will cause breath to enter unto you. Not the preacher, not the dry bones, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. So we just do what the Lord commands. There's a command to sinners and to those observing. A command goes out. Then what appears to us to be a hopeless task. And then we just say, only the Lord knows. It's so hopeless. Only the Lord knows. And that's the way it works. The Lord says, sinner, believe. And the sinner says, I can't believe. I don't even know what you're talking about, believe. Well, here's the key. He that demands you to believe gives the power and the ability to do as he commanded, always. Absolutely every time, always. Gives the command, enables the heart to turn the command that he's given into a prayer, and then he answers that prayer with a promise. Let me give you a couple of examples. Example 1, as Ezekiel 18:31, Scripture says, make you a new heart. Well, that's the command. That's not just a command for the book of Ezekiel. That's a worldwide command that God gives every man. Make you a new heart. Well, if we look on, we'll find over in Psalm 51, David says, a prayer. Psalm 51 is a prayer. And he says, create in me, O Lord, a clean heart. So the Lord, he gave the command. He enables him, who's received the command, to pray, which David is doing there. He's praying for a clean or a new heart. And then in Ezekiel 36:26, he answers the prayer with a promise. A new heart also I will give you. And that's the way I said the Lord works. Commands, sets to prayer, and then he gives the gift. Here's another example. Lord gives a command, turn you. Why will you die, O house of Israel? He says that in Ezekiel 33:14. Well, then you'll find a prayer. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. That's over in Jeremiah 31:18. Well, in Acts 3:26, it says that Jesus was sent to bless you and turn you from your wickedness. There's the promise. He turned them from their wickedness. See how he works? He commands, he enables, and then he gives the promise. We could go on and on. The Scripture's full of it. On and on you go all day long. And someone says, well, that was then. Well, this is the never-ending command book, prayer book, and promise answer book. Right? We all agree there, don't we? It's book never changes. He's still here through this book. He's here today, our Lord. He was with a man with a withered hand. He's here today. Our Lord's the same. Where the gospel is preached, he is. And he that gives that command enables and answers. All right, third point, let's look at the command. It was a simple and direct command, not just stretch forth your hand. That was it. Stretch forth your hand. It wasn't rub two feet together. Wasn't walk across that room. Wasn't even wash your hand. You just stretch forth your hand. What'd that do? Well, that command went straight to the problem, didn't it? That's what the gospel does. It goes straight to the problem. I mean, there's a lot of situations where we have problems, and there's a lot of red tape to ever take care of that problem, isn't it? But not with the gospel. If you got a problem, the gospel goes directly to that problem. Here's the point. If a man is seeking salvation, if a fellow's at church like this guy was seeking help, the gospel helps him. Lord doesn't tell you to go home today now, come back five more Sundays, and we'll see what we can do. There's not a command in here that says that. It says, go home today, get you some good books, get Jonathan Edwards, John Gill, Matthew Henry, get those books and read them for a couple of weeks, then come back and give me a report and we'll see what the Lord wants to do. It's never that way. The gospel goes directly to the problem and fixes the problem. Always. For the life of me, Gary, I don't know why this church isn't full of folks. We have the most simple problem fixer in the world. There's folks in religion that will spend a lifetime doing those things. The Catholic Church. They'll walk 1,000 miles a year somewhere on a mission thinking that that's going to get them better suited for heaven. It's pitiful, isn't it? Gospel is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You remember that Philippian jailer, that earthquake came and that jailer ran to Paul and says, sir, what did he say? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I doubt that Roman jailer had very little clue of what salvation meant. I'm sure he heard them singing in there and talking through the night. And that's probably the first time he had ever heard anything about the gospel is what he heard them say. So he couldn't have known much about salvation. He said, what must I do to be saved? Well, what'd Paul tell him? One word, believe. I don't know much, just believe what you know. Just believe what you've heard us singing and talking about back. Just believe it. That's what he was talking about. Just believe what you've heard. Go from there. You'll learn some more. Salvation is a faith alone. Whatever you do, whatever you add, is an effort of your depraved human flesh, and you're just going to mess things up. Whatever you ate, you're just going to mess it. You're going to make it more complicated. Leave it alone and do what the Scripture says and believe. Nothing comes from dead but debtor. That's it. Just gets debtor. But somebody says, I must repent before I believe. No. Believe gives you the ability to repent. You believe first. That's what have folks in religion so confused. They're constantly repenting, but they don't know what they're repenting of. Yet they should be repenting because they've injured and offended a sovereign God, but they don't know that. They think it's little old rinky dink. They laid out all night drunk somewhere. It's not what it's about. I pray I don't do that again either. I don't want that headache the next morning. Go to work with that. We ought to all pray for that, shouldn't we? Faith alone must be mixed with every act of repentance. Every word, every prayer, or you missed it. You missed it. And if it's faith alone, then it should be a very simple and short prayer. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Why do I say that? Well, with this man, and every unconverted person, by nature, we're powerless. Faith brought ability. Someone says this, how can I do what I cannot do? Well, that's normal for us to think that in religion, isn't it? Because most of us were, if you weren't brought up in it, that's you were all around it anyway. You got to do something. That's the nature of man. If I've been evil, you know, that's why when Gary aggravates you, he'll bring you a dozen roses every time, won't he? No. But that's the nature of people. They got to do where they've messed up. They got to fix it. And it just spills over into religion. I've really messed up with God. I got to do something to fix this. So the scripture tells us to do something we can't do. Well, he gives us that because that's the way of faith. And that's where he wants us to get. Simple faith. Just believe. Just believe. Simple faith. You know, the whole scripture is a series of paradoxes in it. We've mentioned this time and time again. The way up is down. To be rich, you got to become poor. That's the way to salvation. It's a paradox. It doesn't make any sense to the natural mind. But that's the way the Lord... Why? To get us to faith. To get us in simple belief. It's where he wants you. To get us to this, I can do nothing of myself. I can do all things, though. Here's a paradox. I can do nothing, but in Christ I can do all. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. That's faith. Well, look at, finally, the result of this faith, this act of obedience. The moment Hebo obeyed, the miracle was performed. Stretch forth your hand. Here it sits. Stretch forth your hand. And it's done. Just like that. He didn't say, I can't. I can't. It was done. And though it healed immediately, it was perfectly restored. Sometimes we're a little bit... I had my hand operated on a few years ago. And that doctor said, he said, we're going to get in there and we're going to sort of make you a little groggy. But if we find some things, we're probably going to put you... Because we want this done right. And they did. They found some other things and more infection than they thought. And so it took a while, but and then when I woke up, it wasn't perfect. My hand, it took several months of rehab on that hand. Things they made me do, I would have never thought to do at home, you know, doing it on my own. But so it wasn't perfectly restored immediately. When I woke up, I wasn't able to go play golf or throw a ball or anything. But this man's was. Stretch forth your hand. And he immediately stretched it forth, and it was just like this hand. Just like that. It was as useful, dexterous as the other. And then this, it was permanently healed. That's what and when and how the Lord's Spirit works in the sinner's heart. It's all done perfectly and permanently and immediately. Every time. And the cure of the unbeliever's heart is a forever cure. Forever cure. Somebody asked me one time, they're back up here behind us in the church, y'all believe in once saved, always saved? Well, not necessarily. Yeah, once a man is saved, yeah, he's always saved. But the man needs to be saved first. You know, that's where we get a bad rap at times. We do believe once saved, always saved. But make sure that you're saved. Absolutely. If you're saved, you're forever saved. If it's his work, if it's salvation of your making now to be a different scenario, we see that all the time. Or a man saving another man. We see that all the time, don't we? You know, you get sort of saved. I got sort of saved. They don't say that, but that's what happened. I got sort of saved. I got a sort of grace. And at times I lose it, but I got sort of saved. I got peace for a while, but now the peace is gone. Well, Christ didn't work there. Now, we do have turmoils of mind. We do. But we always come out of those, don't we? How do we do that? Well, we get together, we share the word, and you come out of that. The Lord brings you out of that stuff. But if peace is forever gone, there was no peace to start with. With Christ's work, it's always permanence. What's the scripture say? The gifts and calling of God without what? Without repentance. Without taking, he don't take them back. He didn't heal that lady that touched him. He didn't turn around and get on to her. And then, I know the blood stopped flowing, but you didn't do it the right way. I'm taking it away from you. It's permanent. His healing's always permanent. Stretch forth your hand. Think of this. By faith, doing what you're not able to do on your own. I believe, I trust, and make God's mercy in Christ be your confidence then. And you think on that every day, don't you? That's where you go back to. You know, we think on this every day. God loves me. God's merciful to me. He's merciful to me for Christ. Because we know ourselves. We may fool everybody else around us, but we know ourselves really on the inside. And if we continue to see the mercies of God day in and day out, day in, day out, that ought to strengthen our faith. I'll say, you know what? Even though I don't feel it like I should necessarily, something's happened. My whole mindset is different. And the spirit that's in you now gives you new desires and changes your actions and changes your lifestyle. Now, you're still going to stumble. I'm sure that this man, when he went back to work, hit his thumb, his thumb on his right hand, if it was his right hand. I'm sure he hit his thumb with a hammer. I mean, he stumbled. But his hand was forever permanently cured. So I would urge you, get to Christ and be forever and permanently cured. Okay, Steve.